الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكان الله عليما حليما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Yesterday, we looked at one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ash-Shakur, which means that when a person, they do any good deed for the sake of Allah, any ibadah, the smallest of actions, but Allah ta'ala is most appreciative, Allah ta'ala accepts it, Allah values it, and Allah rewards that person much more than what he deserved for that action. Then a question comes that what if a person, instead of obeying Allah Ta'ala or doing a good deed, what if they make a mistake? What if they do something which is disliked by Allah, distasteful, despicable in the sight of Allah? So how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to such a person? So there is another sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Allah is Al-Haleem. You have this other word, Tahammul or Haleem. Normally Haleem is translated as that being who is extremely forbearing, who has a lot of forbearance. And there are two Arabic words that are derived from the same triliteral root. One is this word called Hilm or Haleem, and second is called Tahammul. And in Arabic, sometimes a root word with the same huruf, even if you interchange two of the huruf, they have some type of relationship with one another. So the second word, hamal, the word hamal in Arabic language, it means to carry. Like sometimes you say hamila. Hamila means a woman who's expecting, who's carrying something. And literally it means a person who carries a burden. Hamal means someone who carries a burden. And this burden can be in two ways. This can be a physical burden or an internal burden, something that you're carrying inside your heart, carrying a weight in your heart, which we often say in our language that you have a heaviness in your heart, heaviness in your chest, carrying a burden in your heart. So this is a hidden burden that many people have. And the word for this comes from the same roots, hamal. Hamal also means this internal burden. So this word tahammul comes from this root word hamal. And tahammul, having a burden, means that you are doing something that is difficult. And despite the difficulty, you choose to carry it. And another part of having tahammul is that when a person has the ability to decide not to carry it. They have a choice. They can carry it if they want, and if they want, they cannot carry it, but they choose to carry it. And they're in a situation where if they didn't want to carry it, they could have reacted and not carried it. And this could be a special situation that when someone does an injustice to you, instead of getting back or taking revenge, you decide to forgive. You decide to take it. You decide to accept that burden. And you, when you're put off taking that revenge and you had the desire, you had the jazba to do something, but you decide not to do it and you decide to forgive, this also requires tahammul. So we often call this word tahammul in Arabic, and you translate this as patience or tolerance or forbearance. Another aspect of this word tahammul is that you bear someone else's affliction. You bear the sorrow that someone else gives to you. The grief that someone else causes you, you bear it and you then overlook it. On a higher level, you forgive it. And on the highest level, you forget it. This is tahammul. And all of these things are carried in the meaning of this word tahammul. Yani carrying a burden, an internal burden, something that is difficult. And when you could have done something to release that burden, but you still decide to carry that burden internally, or someone has hurt you, when someone has afflicted you with some type of grief and sorrow, you don't hurt them back, but rather you overlook it, forgive it, or forget it. This is the summary of this word, tahammul, which means carrying this heavy weight. Now we look at the first word, which is in this verse of the Quran, Halim. This is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Halim. And Halim is also an interesting word in English. It's translated as forbearance. And not simply forbearance. This is Halim. This is most forbearing. There is emphasis here, most. Halim, someone who is most soft, a person who is most forbearing, a being who is most patient and tolerant. And not just patient, but on a higher level, you can also forbear difficulties. So actually, there is a big association between this word, tahammul, and hilm. If you want to understand this word, hilm, deeply, there are several aspects. And this will also help us understand when we say that one of the names of Allah Ta'ala is Al-Halim. First aspect is Allah Ta'ala saying in this verse, which I just recited at the beginning, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَلِيمًا. And you can see that often in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his sifat, often there are two, there's a pairing. You have Ghafoor Rahim, Rahman and Rahim. Often two sifat are paired together. And when you look at this ayat of the Quran, Aliman, ilm, and then Halima, hilm, knowledge and forbearance. There is some type of connection between these two attributes. And in this verse, the connection is quite, it's a very special secret that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who is fully al-alim. He is all knowing. And he knows every single thing that a person is doing. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite that knowledge, he is also al-halim. He's extremely forbearing. So in this verse, there is a secret that if you look at someone, when someone wrongs you, or when someone hurts you, and if you want to forgive that person, You forgive him or her on the basis of what you know. They have hurt you, they did something to you, and you forgive them. You don't even know the whole story. You might just know 10% of the story, what they have said to you, to your face. And that is what you're forgiving them for. You don't know what they have said behind your back, what they thought about you in their heart. You don't know any of that. But whether you forgive them or get angry with them, whatever your reaction is, that is based on your limited knowledge. Now here in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He is Al-Aleem. He knows at a very, very, very deep level. He knows when you thought of something, thought of some sin perhaps, how that thought crept into your heart, how it crept into your mind, how you demonstrated that thought, how you showed it. If you felt remorse, if you did not feel remorse, if you showed a regret, if you did tawbah, if you did not do tawbah, He knows the intentions of your heart, the workings of your heart. He is closer to you than your own jugular vein. Wallahu ya'lamu ma fi qulubikum. He knows what's deep inside your spiritual heart. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Aleem, but at the same time He's also Haleem. That He knows 110,000% what we are thinking, what we are doing, what we are feeling, what we're experiencing, but He still chooses to have that tahammul, that forbearance. He chooses to overlook. He chooses to forgive. He chooses to restrain. He chooses to give us a second chance, despite His being all-knowing. So Allah has hilm and forbearance, not because of limited knowledge, but because Allah is very forbearing by nature and extremely forgiving by nature. Then second aspect of this name, Al-Haleem, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full ability to take revenge. In terms of Qudra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full ability to respond, to react. When someone breaks the commandment of Allah, Allah can give some kind of a compensation, badla. Allah has the full ability, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exercise that ability. Not because He cannot do it, but because Allah ta'ala is Al-Haleem. Allah ta'ala is most forbearing. And when the Prophet says, there's a very famous saying that this is what we have to learn, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, that you should make your akhlaq, your mizaj, your attributes like the attributes of Allah, the attributes that we can share with Allah. So we did like being Rahim, also like being Haleem. And often you see that it's interesting when you study Quran, Hadith, there's a relationship. That if you want Allah to forgive you, you have to be forgiving to other people. If you want Allah to have rahim, mercy on you, you should have rahim towards other people. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook your sins, then you should overlook the sins of other people. If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to be angry with you, then you should also not be angry with your fellow human beings. There's a lot of this dual relationship, this very dynamic dual relationship that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we absorb those sifat, those attributes, we try to get these traits in ourselves, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also treat us in the same way. It's like a give-take relationship. How we treat makhluk, how we treat creation is very much how Allah ta'ala is going to treat us. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite all His knowledge, He is Al-Haleem, He is forbearing, He knows everything we did, He hears everything we said, He sees how we have led our life, and if He still chooses to overlook, then who are we not to forgive? Who are we not to be intolerant, to be unforgiving? In fact, we have very little knowledge. So we have so little knowledge, but we don't like to be forbearing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much ilm and so much hilm. We have so little ilm and we have so little hilm. These two things together, they go together. Ilm and hilm. And then the second, in fact, if you just look, I say this nowadays especially, that when someone hurt us really bad, when we know the faults and mistake of someone, we are ready to sever relationships. Husband, wife have a dispute, children are ready to leave the house. When we have these problems with our family members, we are ready to go, we are ready to sort of separate, to put a distance between us and them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do that. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do so many things to spoil this relationship. We do so many things to hurt this relationship. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always forbearing. And you know, a lot of the issues that many people face today, it's about relationships, relationship issues, whether they're old or young, or middle-aged, everyone has relationships in their lives. Whether it's a man, he has relationships with other people, matehead, people working with him, whether in office, job, or in family, children, spouse. Likewise for women, it's their whole life is full of relationships. Being a sister, daughter, mother, daughter-in-law, wife. So many relationships. And we're so worried about giving each relationship its due right, making so many people happy in our lives. And we forget that the biggest relationship that we have, the longest, most lasting relationship that we have is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Rabb. When all these other relationships will end, sooner or later they will. Either we will die or they will die. And all these relationships will come to an end. They will leave you, your children, your parents, your spouse. So the only relationship that is going to help you from the beginning of your life to the end of your life, to the qabr, to the akhirah, is your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do so many things to spoil this relationship, weaken this relationship, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cut this relationship with us. Why? Because He is Al-Haleem. He continues to give, continues to provide, continues to forgive, continues to give us risk, continues to take care of us, continues to keep this bond alive. We sin, Allah brings us back to the masjid. We say things with our tongue which are displeasing to Him, Allah gives us the ability to speak, to read the Quran. He gives us izzat. We do sins at night without proper tawbah, and in the morning Allah gives us izzat. People respect us. People praise us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is that being in the whole universe who has the highest level of forbearance, the highest level of hilm. And interestingly, the highest level of ilm, the most alim and the most halim. Then another point that Allah ta'ala also has the most kudra, like I said, the most capability to take intiqam, to take revenge. And we know a little bit about this. We are ready to fight this out. We know a little bit and we are ready to blast that person out of the water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows so much, and Allah ta'ala, He is still the most forgiving. So this one sifat, this is one attribute that we have to work on as human beings. And this is something that we should see in ourselves. How forgiving are we? How much rahm do you have? And not only this, but when someone praises us, whoever praises us, we should think that that person is not praising me, he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered my faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not humiliating us in this world. He continues to give us rizq, continues to sustain us, continues to give us izzat. He conceals our faults, our deficiencies. He is sattar. So whoever praises us is actually praising the sattari of Allah, the covering of Allah, the attribute of akhlaq, of Allah. Then there is also another aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hilm, which is that Allah gives us muhlat. Muhlat is, English means Allah gives us extra time. Like when you're giving an exam, you're turning in the paper, and you ask your teacher, can I have an extra day to hand in my assignment? Can I have an extra 2 days to work on my paper? A person who is halim, who is forbearing and tolerant, he will give you extra time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most halim. Allah keeps on giving us extra time, keeps on giving that extra respite. And Allah ta'ala keeps on giving it until the end of your life. Till the moment you die, till the last breath, Allah keeps on giving you extra time with the hope that this person might rectify, that this person might change, that maybe this person might make tawbah now. Maybe right at this point, maybe that point. To the extent that this is ajib, it comes in a hadith that when a person sins, the angels are told not to write down that bad deed immediately. The angel waits. If the person sins in the morning, the angel waits till the evening. Maybe this person will make tawbah. If he does tawbah, if she does tawbah, then I won't even write that sin. And only if a person doesn't do tawbah by the evening, then that angel will write down the sin. When the sin is written down, Allah Ta'ala delays the consequences of that sin. Maybe my servant will make tawbah, so nothing will happen, no negative consequences. Allah keeps on delaying, keeps on delaying, keeps on delaying. Ajib, Allah keeps on giving that extra time. There are some scholars who say that there are some people in this ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, some of whom might still be alive, wallahu alam, that the angels who write their bad deeds, they haven't written any bad deed for 20, 30 years. That angel has nothing to write down. It doesn't mean that they don't sin. Even if they sin, but they constantly follow it up with tawbah. So this is where Allah Ta'ala gives them that muhlat, that extra time. And this is part of Allah Ta'ala being al-Halim, being most forbearing. That's why in a hadith it comes that all the Bani Adam are sinners and the best of sinners are the ones who do tawbah. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving extra time, and He's giving it to us on a daily basis. And He's giving this to us throughout our lives. At different times of our lives, ups and downs of our lives, Allah gives us the windows. These windows are opportunities. Okay, at one point, maybe they will reflect, they will think about their life, and they will come back to me. He gives us happiness so that we can do shukr. We can use these times to reflect upon the blessings of Allah. He gives us sadness and grief. There is also mercy in that, so that we can reflect on our situation, we can come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is our relationship with Allah. It's a very dynamic relationship that we have with Allah. Allah gives us happiness, gives us grief, but the purpose and the point is just one, that we develop this relationship, we make this connection with Allah. Make it the strongest connection, the strongest relationship you have in your life. Make it the most important relationship you have in your life. So this is something that Allah Ta'ala gives us, muhlat, extra time for rectifying ourselves, for changing ourselves as part of His attribute that He is Al-Halim. Then there's also one other aspect of Al-Halim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbearance, not because He is in need of people, not because He needs a favor from any one of us. Yani, in other words, when we have forbearance towards someone, it's a relationship of dependence. we anticipate that maybe in future I would need that person's help. So let me have Hilm right now. Let me have forbearance at this point. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely independent. He's mustaghni. He does not need any one of his creation. And still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has Hilm. Why? Because Allah ta'ala is very forgiving, is the most forbearing. So all these several aspects are important for us to realize when we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say that Allah ta'ala is that being who is Al-Halim, is the most forbearing. There is a statement of some of the scholars who say that the birth of every child is actually a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given up on humanity. That the birth of every human being is proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given up. We sometimes give up. We see all the injustices going on. We open the TV, everything is negative. You see the news, everything is negative. Everything is like the end of the time. People are not human anymore. They're violent, very vicious, very violent society. And a person can sometimes feel like giving up on humanity. Something bad happens to us and we go through some time and we say that people are just like that, that they're just dishonest and deceitful, that all people are like that. But from the beginning of time to this time until the end of time, through all the people of the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still not given up. All the Firauns, all the people who were oppressors and persecutors, all the evil people who have come in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still not given up on humanity. That has, Allah ta'ala is that being who has the most forbearance, the most forgiving, the most forbearing. Allah has the most knowledge, He has the most ilm. And if you look at our own selves, often we look at other people, it doesn't really matter what type of ilm that is, whether it's dini ilm, whether it's your general degree. Often when a person has knowledge, when they have ilm, they have a PhD, master's, BA, MBA. Often ilm leads to a lesser hilm, lesser tolerance, lesser forbearance, and more takabbur, more arrogance. This knowledge causes a person to become more critical. Well, critical thinking is a good thing. We develop it at universities. University teachers, professors think that critical thinking is good. But critical thinking in a way that helps you think that is good, not in a way that makes you critical of everyone around you. Not something that makes you lose tolerance for the people around you, for the human beings around you. But often you see this, that when a person has arrogance because of knowledge, and when a person becomes critical because of knowledge, this leads to less hilm, less forbearance. Iblis, Shaitan, he said that ana khayrum min. The first entity who had takabbur was Shaitan. I'm better than Adam alayhis salam. He had arrogance. He had a lot of knowledge. And he did all of those things because he had arrogance. And when a person has arrogance, then they become highly critical. They lose that forbearance, that hilm. Whereas true knowledge, true ilm, it actually leads towards hilm. It leads towards forbearance, towards tolerance. Like we say sometimes in Urdu, ilm ki zinat hilm ke saath hai. That if you want to beautify your knowledge, you want the beauty of knowledge, you want true wisdom, true beauty, then that will lead to hilm. Hilm is the ornament that will beautify your knowledge. Forbearance will beautify your knowledge. So this is actually the beauty of true knowledge. Then we look at our deen of Islam. Actually, in our deen, there is a higher level. It's not simply forbearance or tolerance. We speak about halim and hilm at a higher level, that you should do good to someone who treats you badly. that if every person, and if we should look at this, that if every person in the world, every time someone gave you a thorn, and you gave a thorn to everyone who gave you a thorn, the whole world will be full of thorns. So you should do good to the one who wrongs you. Once, there's a saying about Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. There are some people who were cursing Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and they kept on saying and saying something to him. And then someone passed by Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and said that, why don't you reply? Nowadays, if someone was to curse us and say something bad to us, and we think it would be farz and wajib for us to reply, we think it's a good thing. And when we reply, we think it's a very cunning reply, very smart person. That person can stand up for himself. We celebrate that. Actually, look at the teaching here of Islam. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, someone asked him that, why don't you reply to that person? He gave a very beautiful answer, said that every dish takes out whatever is inside it. That person is cursing me, which means that he has this impurity inside of him, and he's taking that out. And so Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he did not respond in kind. So often in these pressurizing situations, when we're in a pressure cooker environment, academics, work, hospital, profession, family life, in these pressure situations, basically what's in your heart will come out. If we speak bad language, bad words, that means that is what's inside our heart. And if you have sabr, forbearance, patience, tolerance, then that is what's inside your heart. You get angry, that's what's inside your heart. You want to abuse the person, you want to hit that person, you want to do zulm, you want to take revenge, that shows what's inside your heart. So whenever we're in a pressure cooker environment, that takes out whatever is inside our heart. And that's the moment to judge and see, do you have hilm? Are you forbearing? Or are you an angry person? Once someone was arguing with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. There's another hadith. And that person kept on arguing and arguing and saying things. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was quiet. And then the Prophet ﷺ was standing with him. And neither of them were responding or saying anything to that person. And that person constantly kept on saying things and arguing over and over again. Until finally, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he couldn't take it anymore. And he said something in return. When he said something, the Prophet ﷺ, he got up and he left that gathering. And later Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he asked that, why did you leave? And the Prophet ﷺ said that until you were quiet, when you weren't saying anything, when you had hilm, when you were exercising forbearance, I saw that the angels were responding on your behalf. They were replying on your behalf, responding on your behalf. And the minute you spoke, the angels of mercy, they left. And that's why I also left. So this shows that if you have tahammul, if you have forbearance, hilm, it doesn't matter what someone is saying to you. Or your reaction, if it's forbearance, you take the higher ground. And that is what Islam teaches us, that we take the higher ground. That's the key. The key is that you cannot end a bad situation in a bad way. If you want to purify, I'll give you a fiqhi masala, a legal issue. If you want to purify an impurity, you need something pure. If there is some gandagi, some dirt, you have to wash it with water, wash it with a pure substance. You can't wash it with something that's impure. It will just make that thing even more impure. So if you want to rectify the bad habits of people, the bad personalities of people, the bad temperaments of people, you have to do this with goodness, with forbearance. You have to do this by taking the higher ground. You have to do it with a pure heart. And this is something that if you look at the Sharia, at the deen, someone asked that, what about the rights? The Sharia says we should fight for our rights. Now, the Sharia in Islam says that it's actually allowed to take revenge when someone has wronged you, but only to that equal level. When someone has done something, you can equally, according to the law, according to the letter, according to the court, you can take revenge in equivalence. But the afzal, the higher ground, is to do sabr and to forgive. That's why there is even a verse in the Quran that those who do sabr, ghafara, sabra wa ghafara, inna zalika min azmil umur. That verily this is from the difficult things to do, the higher things to do. If a person wants to have this sabr, right? Sabr, forbearance, hilm, this tolerant nature, forbearing nature, this is min azmil umur. Difficult but higher things in the sight of Allah. And this is something that you can also study in human psychology. That when someone wrongs a person, even if they can't do anything and they hold it inside, if they don't forgive, it will eat them inside. It will eat their heart. They will have a problem. They will have high blood pressure. They won't be able to sleep at night. So we have to become people of forbearance. Now, this word Al-Halim comes in a very beautiful dua. The truth is that all the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's so much anwarat and so many secrets, special secrets that are hidden in each one of these names, that insan, human being, they can never know those deep secrets. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows kamilan and mukammalan, what the deep ma'arif are of his name. We people cannot reach the depth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept beauty and secrets and noor and anwarat and ma'arif in each one of his name. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ has instructed us through a sound hadith that you should make dua to Allah ta'ala, pray a particular type of salah, which is called Salatul Hajjah. And in this Salatul Hajjah, you pray two rakah, and after that you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you make that dua using the name of Allah ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala is Al-Halim. And then after making that, this is the dua that a person, this is the salah and the dua that a person makes whenever they have any need from Allah, any hajat from Allah. And that is why it's very important that we should try to remember this dua, these kalimat, because these are kalimat that are taught by the Prophet ﷺ, so that we can attain our goal. Which simply means that whenever any one of us have any need, any zarurat, any hajat, we should pray two rakah, nafil, and after that we should recite the dua that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. Now, what is that dua? It's a very famous dua, which you can Google and you can also find online. I have this slide in front of me, so I'll read it from here. You recite this dua once you're done praying two rakat nafil. La ilaha illallahul halimul kareem. Subhanallahi rabbil arshil azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As'aluka mujibati rahmatik. Wa azaima maghfiratik. Wal ghanimata min kulli bir. Was salamata min kulli ithm. لا تدع لي ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا هما إلا فرجت ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. Whoever has any need with Allah or with any human being, they should perform wudu and then pray two rakah nafil, and after that you make this dua that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. Now let's look at this dua carefully. La ilaha illallahul halimul kareem, which means that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is al-halim, the most forbearing, and kareem. So So the dua begins with this sifat of Allah, Al-Halim and Kareem. Why? Why did the Prophet ﷺ told us to make this, use this name here? The reason is because at the first stage, a person who's making this dua, they acknowledge before Allah that, oh Allah, that I'm not worthy, not deserving to be able to make dua. And I'm not even worthy of giving this application to you, that you fulfill one of my needs. So I have no worth. I have no attributes of my own. I have no qabiliya, no qualities. So as far as I'm concerned in my own self, I'm not deserving. I'm undeserving. Because I have many sins. On the other hand, I have a lot of sins, lot of mistakes, lot of deficiencies, flaws, faults, bad deeds that I don't have the purity to be able to present my application and need to you. However, Allah, you are Al-Halim. And the fact that you are Al-Halim, you are most forbearing. You have this hilm, that because of this sifat that you are Al-Halim, that's why I'm making dua. That is why any person, no matter how big a sinner he is or she is, right? We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this umid, with this hope that we are turning to Al-Halim. Al-Halim is that being who's not like us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not decide and will not get angry very quickly. Allah will not come into emotions and make a faisla decision against us. No. But Allah, we ask you to decide for us according to your sifat, your attribute of hilm. And we use this as part of our dua that Allah, we are asking you out of this attribute that you have of hilm, of being forbearing. And what we're really asking is that we're asking the manifestation of this hilm in the form of forgiveness. That Allah, forgive, overlook my mistakes, overlook my sins. La ilaha illallah al-Halim. And then we add the second word, Kareem. That Allah, we not only that you forgive all us, all our sins, that you overlook our mistakes, but Allah, we ask you to give us even more. Grant us even more. And Kareem actually comes that those people, Kareem is that being who gives to those people who are very weak, like a below average student, like, don't think A's and B's. Think about C minus or a D minus, right? A very weak, poor student. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Kareem means that being who even gives to those people who are below par, who are very weak, very poor. Allah gives them and gives them beyond what they deserve. So we add these two sifat. We invoke Allah Ta'ala using these two sifat, Al-Halim, Al-Kareem. And then after that, we say, Subhanallah Rabbil Arshil Azim. That Subhana, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the tremendous throne, this Arshil Azim. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of the universe, the Rabb of all the universe. As'aluka mujibati rahmatik. So this was the tarifi kalimat. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after that, we make dua. As'aluka mujibati rahmatik. Oh Allah, I ask you everything that leads to your mercy. Wa'aza'ima maghfiratik. And for your tremendous forgiveness. Wal-ghanimata min kulli bir. And enrichment in all good. I ask you for a hissa, for partaking in all good deeds. That my name is also included in every good action, good deeds. Bir. Was-salamata min kulli ithm. And I ask you for protection and freedom from all the sins. Salamati. From all the sins. La tada'li zamban illa ghafarta. Allah, do not leave a sin of mine except that you forgive it.
Dani, oh Allah, forgive every single sin that I have done. Wala hamman illa farrajta. And Allah, do not leave any concern that I have except that you create for it an opening. Ham means any taklif, any gham. Do not leave any sadness, any grief, any musibah, any problem, any issue that I have except farrajta, that you give me an opening. You guide me out of it. You take me out of that issue, that problem. Wala hajatan hiya laka ridan illa kazaitaha. And Allah, do not leave any of my needs in which there is your good pleasure except that you fulfill my needs. Yani, whatever need that I have, which is according to your rada, your pleasure, Allah, don't leave it unturned. Don't leave it unaccepted. But Allah, grant my needs to me. Grant all the needs, all the hajat that I have. And then we end, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, all the most merciful of the merciful ones. So this dua, we should try to remember. It's present in many websites. Every Muslim, they should remember this dua, the meanings of this dua. And then after that, we should ask Allah Ta'ala for whatever needs we have. So we make this dua, and then after that, you can make dua in your own words. And when you're making your own dua, you should make that dua also with yaqeen, that the Prophet ﷺ has taught me this method to ask from Allah Ta'ala. So this is that blessed tongue through which I got the Quran, As-Sadiq Al-Ameen. So I have yaqeen that this is, I will get it, right? And we ask with conviction, and we ask with sincerity, and with humility, fulfilling the sharait and conditions of asking. And when we make this, pray this two rakah, and pray Salate Haja, and make dua Salate Haja, and then we make our duas in such a way, then inshallah, out of the rahmat of Allah, Allah will zarur accept our duas. This is a patent way to get our needs fulfilled. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, there's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that whenever the Prophet ﷺ would face any difficulty, any issue, any problem in his life, إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ صَلَّى, the first thing he would do would be, he would pray. He would pray Salate Haja. And after that, he would make dua to Allah, that, oh Allah, this difficulty has come. Allah, please remove this difficulty. And that is why this should be the task of every Muslim, that if we want to attain our goals, our needs, then we should also try to revive this sunnah and pray Salate Haja with kasra in our life. And we should also teach this to our family members, even to our children. Do tarbiyah of their people who are married, people who have children here, they can do tarbiyah of their children. We teach them, we instruct them, we educate them that you pray two rakah to Allah Ta'ala and then you make this dua and then Allah will give it to you. So there is no special way, by the way, of praying these two rakah. You just make niyat of two rakah Salate Haja. And the tariqah, the method of praying this two rakah is like any other ordinary nafil salah. There's no difference. Just like you pray other salah nafil, you also pray this two rakah. Some people have devised their own ways. There's no special way for this. There's not even a special surah that you have to recite. You can pray any, you can recite any surah that you want to. And then after that, so this is the way, you know, the way that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us, that tariqah, that method is very simple. That you just make niyat of two rakah Salate Haja and then recite any surah that you want to. And after that, you recite this dua, which is the dua of Salate Haja. And after that, you follow that up with your own dua in your own language and make that dua with conviction. So this detail was in those situations when you have time to pray two rakah, to make wudu, to pray two rakah, then make dua with a lot of ihtimam. Let's say if someone doesn't have such time, and this can happen, maybe you are in the middle of something, you don't have so much time to be able to do all of this. then in that case, there is a simple method, even simple, right? Which is that you simply make dua, this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't pray, but you simply make this dua. And after that, you make your own dua to Allah. But every need that we have, we should try to present it to Allah. Present it before Allah, even if it's small. Or if it's something very big. Because the Prophet ﷺ has said that if your shoelace breaks, you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Even a shoelace. So if a shoe, we are being told by the Prophet ﷺ, for such a small thing we should turn to Allah. So then for every, the smallest of the small to the biggest of the big, we should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for all our needs. Every need, small or big. Actually, the small or big, this is, you know, we make this difference. We think that the shoelace is small because we view that to be small. And getting, you know, a BMW is big because we view it to be big. But in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, there is no small and big. For Allah Ta'ala, everything is small. The biggest of biggest needs that we have, the biggest of biggest, you know, zarurat or maqsad that we have, in the sight of Allah, it's very small. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Allah has qudrat over every single thing. Allah's qudra is the same over everything. The shoelace or the BMW is the same qudra. Nothing is difficult. Nothing is big for Allah. And that is why the smallest or the biggest, if we have to ask something, we should ask always Allah. And use this dua. The dua which begins with this, sifat of Allah Ta'ala, la ilaha illallahul halimul kareem. A second aspect is that we should also try to become people of hilm. Like I mentioned that the more we have hilm, then we will also receive hilm. And the Prophet ﷺ has said that hilm is an attribute which is very loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very famous hadith where there was a kabila, a tribe by the name of Abdul Qais. Once they came to meet the Prophet ﷺ in Medina Tayyibah, the people of this tribe, in the love for the Prophet ﷺ, they got off their camels, their ride very quickly. And then very quickly, they hurried towards the Prophet ﷺ to meet and greet him, to say salam. But the leader of this group, this delegation, whose name was Munzar, he was calm. He got off from his ride. He first tied all the saman, all the goods that he had. He preserved them, protected them, safeguarded them. Then he did ghusl, changed his clothes. And after that, with a lot of calmness and waqar, he came and presented and said salam to the Prophet ﷺ, came to the khidmat of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ liked this act. And at that point he said that in you, he was addressing this leader, inna fika la khaslatain, there are two attributes inside of you, yuhibbuhumullah, which are very beloved in the sight of Allah. Number one, al-hilmu. Number two, wal-anatu. Al-hilm, you have forbearance, wal-anatu and calmness. Yani these two sifat, forbearance and calmness, are loved by Allah Ta'ala, are liked by Allah, are beloved to Allah, in the sight of Allah. So we should also try to have forbearance, not become angry, have etidal, moderation. And anatu, that when you do your task, do them with a deliberation, reflection, with some calmness, not to be impatient or do them in a hurried fashion. The Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith that al-anatu minallah, that calmness and deliberation, this comes from Allah. Wal-ajalatu minash-shaytan, and this haste and doing things in a hurried fashion, this is the effect of shaitan. This comes from shaitan. So doing everything with forbearance, with calmness, with deliberation, the result will inshallah be good. Allah will give tawfiq. And to do things in a very hurried fashion, hastily, then that will have the effect of shaitan. So we have to become people of hilm. I'll give you a story that there was a person who in earlier times, a very person was close to Allah, a pious person, and he was traveling on a boat and he had just gotten his head shaved. He was sitting there doing his ibadah, doing his own work. His head was very freshly shaved such that it had a very, you can say, a shiny look. And there were children who were also on the ship who were a bit shararti, a bit wanted to do something. So one kid came and he hit his head. He didn't say anything. Another kid came and hit his head again. And this kept on, they kept on doing this over and over again. And he wasn't responding. He didn't say anything. After a while, all these kids would just pass by and do something, throw something. And this pious old man was just sitting quietly doing his stuff, not saying anything. Tahammul, hilm, ignoring, not reacting, having forbearance, not saying anything. And the children kept on doing this. Even the adults of that ship, they started laughing. The children were laughing. Everyone was laughing at him. And he was quietly doing his stuff, not caring what they were thinking. He was close to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala put a khayal, a thought in his heart. And all of a sudden, this thought came into his heart that, oh Allah, if you want, Allah said that if you want, oh my servant, I could overturn their boat and that would be their punishment and I'll save you. So, you know, this servant, he could have made that dua. You could have made a bad dua, right? He was being persecuted in such a way. But he said that, oh Allah, if you want to overturn their boats, Allah, I make dua to you that overturn the boats of their heart. If you want to capsize their boat, capsize their heart, change their hearts. And it comes that later all those people, they made tawbah and all of them went on to become very pious, very religious people of that time. So this is something that the people who have forbearance, because of their humanity, people change. Their humanity melts even the hardest of hearts. You can imagine once during the heat of the battle, you are fighting. Very famous story of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. That in the heat of a battle, he is fighting and you are seeing your friends being killed. And then in the heat of the battle, you are fighting, you know, there is someone who comes to you. And just you are about to overpower your enemy. And just as when Sayyidina Ali was about to kill that enemy, that man, he spat on his face. Now you can imagine that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he could have just killed him right off. If someone spits on your face, how angry would you be? And if you have a sword in your hand and you have overpowered him and you don't know what, you know, you will do what you have to do. He spat on Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala's face. And now look at the forbearance of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. His bravery, his hilm was such that he took back his sword. He said that I can't kill you now. Get up and go. Fight someone else. So the man is shocked. He said that I just spat on your face and you're fighting me and I'm from the enemy side. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said that I can't kill you. Before I was killing, I was fighting you for the sake of Allah. And now it's going to be a personal vendetta. It's going to be a personal thing. And I can't kill you for a personal reason. I can only kill you if my intention is pure. And they say that the man's heart melted. His heart melted. A disbeliever who Sayyidina Ali and the forbearance of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, right? His heart melted. So this akhlaq, it can change people. You can make them into true human beings. So we have to become people of forbearance. Some people are born with this quality. Some people have to work on this quality. You have to plan, you have to work. Now, how can a person increase in their hilm? Some practical things that are there in our deen. Number one is the wasiyah of the Prophet ﷺ. Once a sahabi came and asked that, give me some wasiyah, some counsel. So the Prophet ﷺ said, la taghzab, don't be angry. He came from another side and said, give me another nasiyah. And the Prophet ﷺ repeated, la taghzab, don't be angry. And this happened thrice. So this nasiyah is very small, but very profound. And this is the way a person can increase in their hilm. That whenever someone does something to anger you, la taghzab. Think about this wasiyah of the Prophet ﷺ, that don't be angry. And along with that, when someone tries to incite you, the Sharia teaches us that you should become silent. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates from the Prophet ﷺ that you should teach deen to other people. وَبَشِّرُوا, give them glad tidings. وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا, and save them from difficulty. And وَإِذَا غَزِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ, if someone becomes angry at you, فَلْيَسْكُتْ, then you should remain silent. So subhanAllah, فَلْيَسْكُتْ, remain silent. Because the heat and the battle and all of those bad things will start when you start speaking. When you start speaking, then the door of shar will be opened up. Then it will lead to fasad, fitna, kata taluki, jhagda, dispute, all the way. So la taghzab, don't become angry. We can become silent at that time. Another thing that the Prophet ﷺ said, which is related, that this anger comes from shaitan. It's the effect of shaitan. Shaitan was made out of fire, created from fire. And what extinguishes fire is water. Hence, whenever any one of you becomes angry, he should falyatawazza, he should make wudu. So that's another thing we can do. Whenever we feel angry, we can just change our posture, change our place, and ideally go to the washroom, make wudu. Or we can even drink water. So being silent, changing your posture, changing the room. If you're standing, you sit down. You're sitting, you lie down. You go drink water. You throw water on your mouth, on your face, splash it. You make wudu. And while you're making wudu, come back and you can pray 2 rakah if you have time. All these things will help a person control their anger. This is a mustaqil cure for anger. You can also, when you're angry, you can also recite A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, because this ghussa comes from shaitan. So you respond that I come in the protection of Allah. Or you can also say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said when you say this kalima, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then shaitani asrat, the effect of shaitan leaves you. Another thing, practical oral verbal remedy, is that you can recite Durood Sharif a couple of times. This is another established principle that whenever you feel angry and you recite Durood Sharif, the barakah of Durood Sharif will lessen your anger. And in the Arab world, even today, whenever there are two people are fighting, they immediately say Sallu 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 ala Muhammad Sallu ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Recite Durood and Salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a way to treat that anger. So this is first thing that will help us increase in our hilm, that we control our anger in these different ways. The second thing is to make a mental exercise that we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have hilm with us. So if we want Allah ta'ala to have hilm with us, then we should also have hilm with other people around us. People who are matahid, people who are below us, people who are under us, we should also deal with them in the same way like you want to be dealt with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third and final way, no, there's one more. Third way is to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hilm. You can make again dua in your own words, that Allah, I ask you to increase me in my hilm. Or secondly, you can also, there is another dua, that Allahumma aghnini bil ilmi wa zayyini bil hilmi wa akrimni bit taqwa wa jammilni bil asiya. Four things. Allahumma aghnini bil ilm. Allah grant me ilm and make me be-niyaz with my ilm. Wa zayyini bil hilm, and adorn me, beautify me with hilm, with forbearance. Wa akrimni bit taqwa, and Allah give me the izzah of taqwa through taqwa. Wa jammilni bil afiyah, and Allah adorn me with afiyah. So we should try to recite this dua, and inshallah this will also khub ihtimam, so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this ni'mat of hilm. Another very effective remedy, a very effective practical way to increase in hilm, is that we should read the stories of the people who had forbearance in hilm. And really, when you read and you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, obviously we will go back to the life of the Prophet ﷺ, because that is where you will see a human being in the most perfect form. People say that that's 1,000 years ago, right? You want to learn about humanity, then we will have to go look at the best human being. Read about the Prophet ﷺ's life, hear about his hadith. So subhanAllah, when you read the stories of the Prophet ﷺ, we will be amazed at the level of forbearance that the Prophet ﷺ had. Sometimes a person, they're most intolerant towards their own family members. It is narrated that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to live in the house of the Prophet to do khidmat. And you know, servants, you know, if you really want to know somebody, you should ask their servant, is this person tolerant, forbearing, or not? That's when you will find out the hakikat of that person. So Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was given by his mother to the Prophet ﷺ that this is my son, he's around 10 years old, he's going to do your khidmah. And Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu went on to live for 10 years in the house of the Prophet ﷺ, very close quarters, doing khidmah of the Prophet ﷺ. And he said in his hadith that when the Prophet ﷺ told me to do something and I did not do it, obviously was a young man, he would have made mistakes. So he said that if I was supposed to do something and I did not do it, the Prophet ﷺ never said, why didn't you do it? And if there was something that I was not supposed to do and I did it, the Prophet ﷺ never said, why did you do it? He always had tahammul and hilm with me. So this is something that the Prophet ﷺ's own family members, they attested to. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he also had hilm with young people, with young men, you can say young children, with everyone, right? Young, with old, with women, every fard, every individual of the society. So there's another hadith about another young sahabi who says that I had this adat, this habit, that whenever I felt hungry, I used to just climb the tree and eat whatever dates were there on that tree. So one day my malik, my master, he caught me and he took me to the Prophet ﷺ. And initially I was very terrified. I was very worried that what will happen to me? Maybe I will be whipped, I'll be lashed. I was very nervous. Khair, I came in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and that person, he explained that, Ya Rasulullah, this person, this boy of mine, he without permission breaks dates from the tree and he eats it. So when Nabi ﷺ, he looked at me, he called me close. And the first thing that he did was that he placed his hand lovingly on my head. And when he did that, mera aadha jo dar tha na usi waqt khatam ho gaya. I got confidence. My fear that I had, the worry, the stress, the anxiety that I had, half of it vanished just by the hand of the Prophet and the way the Prophet lovingly with affection placed his hand on my head. Then he asked me that, "Oh son, sir, why do you eat the dates of other people without permission?" And I replied that, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm hungry and I like these dates and that's why I break them and I eat them." So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught me a masala. That look, whatever dates are on the ground, they have izn-e-am. They have permission, general permission. Anyone and everyone can eat them if they're lying on the ground. However, if there are dates which are on the tree, then you need to take the permission of the owner of the Malik first. So he says that the Prophet ﷺ explained me this masala and I understood that what I could do and what I could not do. And then after that, the Prophet ﷺ, he made dua for me that, "Oh Allah, grant barakah in the rizq of this person and remove the faqr, the hunger, the poverty from this person." And that Sahabi says that I returned back and after that, in my whole life, I never ate anything without permission. This is called hilm. In such an affectionate way, in a sympathetic way, in such a forbearing manner, the Prophet ﷺ first kept his hand, blessed hand, on his head, asked him what the masla is, explained the masla gently, and then after that ended with a dua. And as a result, that person, he left that sin what he was doing. And we should look at this, that how do we treat our family members, our children, other people in our family? We don't have this hilm. We lack this level of hilm. We should work on that. We should have some tolerance and clearance. Then you look at the hilm that the Prophet ﷺ had with women. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, once she said something and the Prophet ﷺ tried to explain to her, but she had already said, and there was at that time there was a knock on the door, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he entered. So the Prophet ﷺ said that, "Okay, we will make Abu Bakr, you will become the judge between us." Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the father of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anhu, right? So he said that, "Okay, fine, I will decide." And Aisha radiallahu anhu, she said that, "Okay, Ya Rasulullah, Achni, pehle the Prophet ﷺ asked that, Aisha, do you want to explain the mamla? Do you want to explain the issue or should I explain the issue to Abu Bakr?" So she quickly said that, no, you can explain the issue, but explain it properly, correctly, and truthfully. I'm saying those words, right? Now that was the meaning, that explain to it properly. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he heard this, he became a bit, angry that Aisha, that this is Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sadiq al-Amin, that why would the Prophet say something which is false? And he sort of tried to come near his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. At that time, Aisha, she realized that I'm in trouble. So she went back, she went and sort of took sanctuary with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She went back on the backside of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet said to Abu Bakr, "Abu Bakr, we asked you to be a judge and solve our issue, and you are sort of increasing it, so you can leave. We can solve this ourselves." And when he left, then the Prophet turned back and he smiled at Aisha, that, "Aisha, I saved you from your father." Maslaha loge, solve the problem in such a beautiful way, in such a forbearing manner. Hilm. Then the Prophet ﷺ also had hilm with people who were a bit old, elderly people. So there was a Bedouin Sahabi who once came to Masjid al-Nabi and he was not aware of the adab of the Masjid. So Masjid al-Nabi had a covered area and then there was like a courtyard outside, which was occupied land, but courtyard, with there was no chat, no roof. So this Bedouin Arab, he came and he went in that area, the courtyard, and he started relieving himself, urinating. And when he had started, now whoever came and they saw, they said, "What are you doing? The Prophet ﷺ has prohibited this." Now look at the tahammul, the forbearance, and the hikmat of the Prophet ﷺ. This person has already started that activity. So he had no ikhtiyar, no choice at this time. If he was told not to do it, then he would have, you know, soiled his clothes, soiled the ground more. So the Prophet ﷺ, he did not say anything. He was silent. He allowed that person to complete his act. He cleaned himself, wiped himself. Then when he stood up, at that time, the Prophet ﷺ called him towards himself and said that, look, this is masjid. This is the house of Allah. And Allah is very azim. And Allah likes purity. So we should keep the house of Allah pure. And when the Prophet ﷺ explained him in such a way, so that elderly Bedouin Arab Sahabi, he realized his mistake. He said that I've done a very big blunder. And oh Allah, oh Nabi of, oh Ya Rasulallah, now I realized that I've committed a very big mistake. And from now on, I will not make this mistake again. So after that gathering, that Sahabi, he stood up, he took permission, and he wanted to go back to his tribe. So the Prophet ﷺ saw that he had some stitches on his clothes. So he told one Sahabi to fetch him, to give him new clothes as a hadia. So that Bedouin, he took that new clothes, he was very, very happy. When he started walking, the Prophet ﷺ saw that he was walking, he didn't have any ride, any animal with him. So the Prophet ﷺ said that we should make arrangement for an animal so that he can easily go back to his tribe. So now he became even more happy. And finally, when he reached his tribe, he had reached the boundary of that tribe, of that village, and he started shouting at the top of his tongue, at the top of his voice, that, oh my chacha, oh my uncle, oh my mamu, oh my brother, calling everyone to come towards him. And all people are surprised, that why are you calling us? Why are you shouting? And then he said that I have met such a teacher, that I did such a big mistake, and yet he did not embarrass me, did not insult me, did not humiliate me, he did not punish me. And he explained to me the matter in such a beautiful way. And on top of that, he also gave me a hadiyah of these new clothes, plus this hadiyah and gift of this savari, this animal. So all the people, they were quite surprised that, acha, he had such a beautiful akhlaq. So we also want to go and meet him. The kalma, and they became Muslim. So this was the akhlaq and the forbearance and the hilm of the Prophet ﷺ. Allahu Akbar. I'll just end with one last story. The hilm that the Prophet ﷺ had with unbelievers. So this is also worth listening to. Very beautiful, but very ajeeb. There was a scholar from the Jews. His name was Zaid. Very wealthy and also an alim. And before bringing Islam, he narrates his own story. And his story has been narrated by Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala an. So he said that when I first saw the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ, I saw all the alamat, all the signs of prophethood in that face except for two. And I tried to find out about those two alamat, two signs. What were those two sifat? He says that in the Torah, our book, it was written that when the last Nabi will come, his hilm will be more than his anger. And if someone does some jahalat, some ignorant act in front of him or with him, that will only increase his hilm. It will only increase his forbearance. He says that these were two signs that I was searching for. And I was planning, I was looking for an opportunity where I could interact with the Prophet ﷺ and see how much hilm the Prophet ﷺ has. So he says that at one time, the Prophet ﷺ was told that there are some people who have newly converted, reverted, and they're very poor, so they want some money. There is some famine there, drought there, very difficult times, so we can give some money as a loan to them. At that time, the Prophet ﷺ, he did not have anything with him. So Zayd radiallahu anhu, he says that I thought to myself that this is my golden opportunity. I came near and said that, oh Muhammad ﷺ, that you have this bagh, this garden of dates, palm plantations. You can sell that to me and I can make you advance payment. Yani I'll take the dates later from you and I can make the payment right now. And you can use this payment and do whatever you have to do. So the Prophet ﷺ said that, no, I will not do this majhul baya. Rather, I will pay you, I will give you this much weight of dates at this particular time. And in return, you can give me the money right now. So this, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, he said that, okay, this is fine. I agree with this condition. So he gave the money and it was decided that after X number of days, the Prophet ﷺ is going to pay him this much dates. So Zayd radiallahu anhu, he says that abhi 3 days were left till the expiration, till the expiry of that duration. And the Prophet ﷺ had just completed the janazah of an Ansari Sahaba and they were returning back. And along with the Prophet ﷺ, there was Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, all the Sahaba, senior Sahaba, were there with the Prophet ﷺ walking. And when the Prophet ﷺ was returning back, I held the cloak of the Prophet ﷺ and in a very angry manner, I said to the Prophet ﷺ that, oh Muhammad, why haven't you given me my right back? Why haven't you given me my haq back? And wallahi, I swear by Allah that you are the descendants of Abdul Muttalib and these people are very bad when it comes to repaying the loan. They procrastinate their delay. So I deliberately said something in order to incite the Prophet ﷺ. And he says, when I said this, I saw Umar. And Umar was looking at me with such an eyes as if he just wanted to kill me. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to me that, oh, why are you saying this to the Prophet ﷺ? Oh, the enemy of Allah. Who are you to say these words to the Prophet ﷺ? The words that I'm listening to. And I swear by that being that if I had the right, I would not have hesitated to kill you. And he said that Umar radiallahu anhu, he used a very strong, very strict words with him. And the Prophet ﷺ, he looked at Umar with a lot of contentment. And he was, meanwhile, he was smiling. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that, oh Umar, then me and this person, they deserved a better treatment from you. And your treatment with us should have been different. The treatment should have been that you would have said to him that if you want to ask for your loan, you should have asked in a better way, in a beautiful way. And you should have counseled me that you should hasten in returning that loan. Don't delay it. So then the Prophet ﷺ said that, Umar, go and give this person his dates back. And add 20 sa more dates. Sa is one kind of weight. And he give him extra dates. Why? Because you used harsh language against him. And Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, he says that Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he went with me, he gave me my dates, and then he gave me extra dates. And after that, I accepted Islam. So when I saw that the hilm of the Prophet ﷺ is like this, then it made me accept Islam. So this was the hilm of the Prophet ﷺ, that even unbelievers, they would look and they would accept Islam, recite the kalima. And if only today we can have the same akhlaq, if we can bring this tahammul, forbearance in our life, in our relationships, in our homes, why do we fight? Why do we disagree? Why do we have these disputes? The reason is because we don't have that forbearance, that bardasht, the ability to restrain, the ability not to respond immediately. Small things, small things happen and we just enlarge it. We zoom in, right? Rather, the zarurat, the need of the time is that we should try to adorn ourselves with this akhlaq of Allah, become people of hilm. Remember, I'll just say one last thing and then we'll end. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the last moment when the Prophet was leaving this world, one of the last things that he said to me, and I had to come near the Prophet to hear what he was saying. And I heard that he was saying, As-salah, as-salah. Be careful about your salah, about your salah. And the second thing that he said was, Ittaqullah fima malakat aymanukum. That fear Allah when it comes to those people who are under you, who are your matahit. Who are the matahit? You know, our servants, people who work with us, our children, our spouse. So we should fear Allah Ta'ala when it comes to these relationships. This was the last message that the Prophet ﷺ gave to this ummah. And this was the summary of all the ta'limat, the ta'limat, the teachings of his whole life. Salah, and then for those people who are with you, under you, be careful about them. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be angry with them. Have fear, forbearance. So we make dua to Allah ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to adorn ourselves with this attribute. Today we have time. We can make tawbah to Allah ta'ala for our deficiencies, for the lack of hilm, for the lack of sabr. And we can make intention before Allah that Allah, we are intending before you to renew our life. We make intention of becoming this good akhlaq person. Allah, we ask you to grant us ilm. And Allah, also on top of that, make us people of hilm. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbil al wa hamd allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم أعط نفسي تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم أغنني بالعلم وزيني بالحلم اللهم أغنني بالعلم وزيني بالحلم وأكرمني بالتقوى وجملني بالعافية وأكرمني بالتقوى وجملني بالعافية ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين